once more. Thank you. Yeah. All right, here we go. I think the Lord has put in my mind since at least a year about these verses that I'm going to read, and they are taken, believe it or not, from the book of Lamentations, which is a really interesting book full of theological principles for our lives. And the scripture is from chapter 5. I'm not going to read the entire chapter because it's 22 verses. But really, Lamentation, it's a dirge. It's there are a collection of poems that speak about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And I always say this, that's before Jesus came on the scene. The temple was destroyed. Eventually, the temple was destroyed again in 70 AD. And the Jews are still crying about it. In fact, in Jerusalem, you have the Wailing Wall, which are the last stones of the magnificent temple that Herod built. And they're still crying about it. So it is a very tragic book. And you'll see why. But I'm going to read now only a couple of verses from verse 5, from chapter 5. But before I do that, I need to pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's just amazing. Because it will bring solace and faith and builds hope in our lives. Bless this word to our souls. Amen. So here it is. I have entitled this message, Remember, Restore, and Renew, because these, I call them the three verbs of the Holy Spirit. So you have the nine gifts, but there are also some verbs that are very important. Remember, restore, and renew. These are taken straight from the scripture. And here it is, chapter 5. So this is whoever wrote a lamentation, just pouring out his or her heart. Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look at our disgrace. Look and see our disgrace. And then jumping on verse 21 at the very end, restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. So these are the three verbs, remember, restore, and renew. Just to sum up very quickly this verse, this chapter 5, like remember, O Lord, see our inheritance has been turned over to strangers. Our mothers are widows, our homes are to foreigners. We are weary and find no rest. We submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread and so on and so forth. Our ancestors sinned. Our skin is hot as oven, feverish from hunger. Women have been violated in Zion. Princes have been hung up. Young men toil and boys stagger and so on and so forth. It's really, really a description of an invasion, of a siege, and what happened in Jerusalem in 586 BC. And they eventually were deported to Babylon. And we find that that's typical of prophets. In the middle of such a disgrace and devastation, then you find verses here and there, or verbs in this case, that really bring hope. Remember, restore, and renew. These are three verbs that should appear in the dictionary of every Christian. Although they are taken from the book of Lamentation and set in a particular context, which is a grim and tragic description of the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, they can be applied to our Christian lives. We don't want to be that morbid this morning, but these verbs can be applied in our lives. I've heard about people struggling and so on and so forth. And there are places in the world nowadays at this very moment that especially Christians need to be reminded of that. So as we move on through these verbs, let's keep these three important verbs, the verbs of the Spirit, in the back of our minds. Our text is obviously a prayer. And it's a lamentation. Now, we need to know that Lamentation, the little book of Lamentation, is part of five little books in the Old Testament, which is called the Megillot. And the five books are these. There's Song of Song, which typically and usually read at Passover. There's Ruth, which is read at Pentecost in a few weeks. There is Esther, that is read at Purim. And Lamentation, obviously, is the commemoration of the destruction of the temple. And it is read at the particular moment of the year, which I don't remember, but it is read for any kind of tragic moments the people of God, the Jews, go through. And you wouldn't believe in this. I mean, if you read the entire book of Lamentation, it's five chapters. It's all full of sigh, you know, like there's no one to comfort me, Jerusalem says. It's a really tragic book, but in the midst of that, you find verses like this one, which people that have my age will remember. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's Lamentation 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of God. We have talked about the faithfulness of God. That word, if I would say, what is the most important word in the entire scripture, if someone would ask me, I would say the steadfast love of God. In Hebrew, it's chesed. Means, who knows what it means? It's translated, it's translated in so many ways. It's translated as great love or steadfast love or loving kindness or act of mercy, or loyal kindness, Lord's mercies, faithful love, loyal love of the Lord. It's translated in all these different ways. You can check on Google and check the different translation of the Bibles. And you'll see. It means that God's love goes beyond our own faithfulness. We may falter, but God is faithful. He doesn't base his faithfulness on my faithfulness. God forbid. I mean, I wouldn't be here today. It's such a powerful word that it's unbelievable. And it's mentioned many, many, many times in the scripture, the steadfast love of the Lord. All right. So these verses that I read before, remember, restore, and renew, and then I gave a little short sum up of chapter 5, we need to consider two things. The first one, these are words that come out of the mouth, these are not the words that come out of the mouth of God saying, I am remembering you, I will restore you, I will renew you. These are rather words of women and men addressing God in a critical moment of their lives. And let me put an aside here, without being that morbid, but almost all of us, I guess, sooner or later, will have a Job situation coming. Some, maybe more than once, where you don't understand the why, what is going on here. God, but you said, you know, you promised, and here I am. What's going on? Now, this is not to be negative, but it's to be real. So first of all, these are words that come out of our mouth addressing God. God, remember us. God, restore us to you. God, renew us. What a simple yet powerful prayer. Secondly, that's really interesting to me. Another interesting aspect of this verb is that all three of them are in the imperative tense. Would we even dare in our prayers and supplications to be so bold as to command God? Do this or that, God, unheard. How irreverent. Yet the writer of Lamentations did. Which of these three verbs will be the focus of our attention this morning? As we keep them in the back of our minds, which of them will appeal to us the most? Remember, restore, or renew? I'm telling you, and you all know, I remember the Father is able to remember each and every one of us. He is willing to restore each and every one of us. And he has plans to renew each and every one of us. Hopefully, all three of these verbs will get into our vocabulary today. I promise you, at the end of this message, we'll have a better understanding of these three verbs. Remember, restore, and renew. And our hearts will warm just at the thought of repeating them in our prayers and reflections. I've seen that usually there are questions that are formulated after a sermon. I would rather, if you agree, that you yourself formulate your own questions. You know yourself better than I do. So after this sermon or message, you can formulate your own questions, trying to avoid the why questions, please, though. Those are annoying. You'll see, it's kind of complicated to have a question without the why. You can use a what or whatever. So let's see these three verbs. Remember, Lord. Lamentation 3:1. Do we have that on the screen? Here it is. Remember, Lord. By the way, just to break a little bit, remember, restore, and renew. If you say it with Italian R, that sounds better. The rolling R. Remember, Lord, what has happened to us, says the writer of Lamentations. Some people say Jeremiah, but we're not really sure. Maybe there are different ones that compiled these poems. There are five of them in Lamentation. Each chapter is a Remember, O Lord, chapter 5, verse 1. Look and see. God remembers by looking and seeing. Now, we're using anthropomorphic kind of a language. God obviously doesn't need to remember. I mean, he's God. But these are the words that we have, thinking of the character of God. And this we use. Remember, look, and see. God remembers by looking and seeing. Looking, this verb is basically saying pay accurate attention towards what has happened to us. It's not just say, all right, look that, but look, just pay attention and see our disgrace. So these two sub-verbs are even more intense. So look, pay attention, and see, really pay attention. So God remembers by looking and seeing. So from a general look to a focused looking and seeing. It's a little bit what we read in Revelation in one of the churches, Smyrna today, it's Smyrna. where it says, I know your works. I take notice. He says, those wonderful messages, those in seven churches in Revelation. I take notice. Is it too irreverent to ask, command God to pay attention to us in our time of troubles? Didn't Jesus tell his disciple, after all, and us, not to worry about our lives, food, or clothes? So if he said that, Lord, what about the word that I just read in Matthew? Remember me. Remember me. Look and pay attention, please. And it is an imperative. It's amazing. Remember us. Why do you always forget? Lamentation 5:20. Why do you always forget? Remember us, God. Why do you forsake us? These are the why questions. You know, the Psalms are full of questions. One of the most, not questions, but reflections of the psalmist is the sentence, I'll tell you in Hebrew because I think it's nice. Ad ana Adonai. Ad ana Adonai. How long, O Lord? How long? I can't take it anymore. How long? Which is repeated also in the book of Revelation. How long we need to go through this? Well, but you need to graduate. How many years is this university to go through this? Give me a break. How long? You know, Christians, that's my experience, but what I've seen, sometimes can be the most depressing people on the face of the earth. And you know why? Either because they have to fake it, but not before other people, but even before God. Or even they are scared of having this direct relationship with God and say, Lord, remember me. What's going on here? And they kind of fake it with themselves, and they are the most depressed people on the face of the earth, some Christians. Nietzsche said, I think I said it last time, if I did, forgive me. You know, he said, looking at the Christians of his time, you wonder why he never became a Christian. He said, my, only if they had faith to redeem the people. You see? God is well able to take our frustration, our prayers, remember, and look and see. Remember, Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, reap, or store away in barns. And yet, do I love that word yet? And yet, your Heavenly Father feeds them, looking and he sees. Are you not much more valuable than they? When the Bible said God remembers, right, the original word, I'm not going to say it's remember, right? But remember does not mean only to remember as we understand. And he remembers by looking and seeing. There is something more. But it also means to bring someone to mind and then act on that person's behalf. So if I say, God, remember me, basically what I'm saying, and what lamentation, what all over in the Old Testament, it really means, God, do something for me. So God not only remembers, oh, yeah, I remember, all right. No, remembers and he acts on it. And hopefully it will act for our own well-being, because God remembers also in the negative, all right? The Hebrew idea of remembering always includes acting on behalf of the one brought to mind. So God remembers by looking and seeing. As he looks, he comes closer to us, investigating all the recesses of our souls. As he remembers, he looks, and as he sees, he is moved by compassion. God remembered Noah, and the water subsided. God remembered Rachel, and the Lord opened her womb. Joseph, remember me to Pharaoh. And we know the story, said Joseph to the cupbearer in Genesis. And it was all good for him. God will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. What does it mean? That God is going to do something, and okay, I forgot. Well, God knows everything. But he's going to act in favor of those sinners. Give them a new life. Mary, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. The word of Mary. So we can be so thankful that God remembers us, has turned his attention to us, and has acted on our behalf by sending his son so that he can not remember against us our former sins. Psalm 79, verse 8. So, for example, if I say, God, in my prayer, God, we bring before you such and such, what do we really mean? Do something in favor of this person. So I bring you this person in front of you, God, and move. Do something on his or her behalf. You know, this relieves me so much of anxiety. Because it's not up to me. God, it's your job. Allow me to be that straightforward with you. But God can take that. It's not impressive. You know, God, that's your job. Didn't you say that you attract people to you in the Gospel of John? So why don't you attract this person? What can I do? I can't speak in Chinese and French and English. How many times I have? Do it. You're not going to be that straightforward, but you know what I mean. We want to be obviously very reverent. But God, you know, he's able to take it. All your wonderful promises of Jerusalem and the temple. Yeah, we are sinners. He says it. We are sinners. But move. So you pass, do you say like, how do you say it? You pass the buck, that's how you say it, back to God. And there is another verb, the second verb of the Holy Spirit. Restore us to you. Lamentation 3:21. Now this is a wonderful one because restore us to you, it goes parallel with the word return. And it makes sense. As we return, as Israel returns, Israel is restored. The same verb in Hebrew. As some translation, they translated restore. But also return, it's the same thing. Return. And the mood of the verb is so important because it doesn't mean only restore, but cause us to return. Cause us to return. The psalm, I've run in the ways of your commandment because you have enlarged my heart. If you don't enlarge my heart, I'm going to be just like a piece of a blob somewhere in the corner. God is the one that causes us to return. So, Restore us to you, Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. That's parallel, same verb. That we may return. Return us to you. That is, help me to return. Give me the desire to desire. That we may return. That is important. That if you don't do that, if you don't do your kind of a causing me to return, I'm not going to return. Because I don't have the strength. I may try, but cause us to return. To return, and therefore we are restored. Return and help us to restore the fellowship which we lost along the way. Cause us to return. Wonderful song or chorus. Turn us, O God, or restore us, God, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine. Wonderful translation. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. If you don't do the causing, I will not be saved. What are you saying, Mike? Well, I'm just saying what I just read. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and then we shall be saved. Psalm 80, verse 19. And that's a wonderful, very important theological point. The causing, it is God. So when we pray, in a way, I said sometimes to someone, it's like twisting the arm of God. Cause us. It's your doing, not mine. I just want it. But put me in a situation where you cause me to return and be restored. Let me, that is, cause us to, or cause me to, let me hear your loving kindness. Here it is, the chesed of God, the steadfast love, translated all of a sudden, loving kindness. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk. For to you I lift up my soul. That let me is cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Otherwise, I'm deaf. It's not going to work. So that was the second verb of the Spirit after restore. Renew our days of old. Renew our days of old. Again, this verb is renew our days of old. And basically, we think, renew. We are a new creation, everything, there's no condemnation, all that, all is new. That's true. But sometimes God renews us by repairing. In fact, the verb in its mood means also repair. Renew our days of old. There is such a bargaining method here. Because a lamentation, which is typical of the prophets too, it's almost like saying, if I can simulate it with a voice, let's see if it works. Renew our days of old, unless you have utterly destroyed, forgotten us. It's a bargaining method. It's a way, you find it in the Psalms with David. It's almost like saying, that's your glory on the stake. Renew us. Forgotten us. And he knows that God has not forgotten Israel. But it's a device, a literary device. It's a wonderful one. It's a bargaining method. Renew our days of old. God renew us by repairing also. Not just by patching up, but by rebuilding anew. So the renewal implies not simply bring us back to the former glory and golden days, but it looks ahead because there is much more to come. It is a stimulation to believe for better days to come. Renew by repairing. In one of the books in the Old Testament, Nehemiah is the one that God used to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem after the first batch of Jews came back from Babylon. And they are in Jerusalem, and even there, it's just a problem because Jerusalem, there's nothing, you know, it's all destroyed, and I mean, 70 years about had passed. So, but God uses Nehemiah to repair and restore Jerusalem by building the wall. Remember the wonderful story that with one hand they would rebuild the wall, and other hand they had the sword in their hand because the enemies didn't like the idea of rebuilding Jerusalem. So Nehemiah, a wonderful figure. But if you read in talking about repair in Nehemiah chapter 3, in a chapter of 32 verses, the word repair and rebuild is mentioned 39 times. So it is, when I see all this repetition, my antennas move. There must be something that I should, am I still on? It's all right, I can project my voice. I'll try. So the third verb is renewing, and he does the renewing. Thank you. By repairing. There is my last verse. It's a really wonderful verse that we find in the prophet Isaiah. It's the gospel of the Old Testament, Isaiah. Talking about, we don't know when he says, your people will rebuild, that your, we don't know who's talking about, if it is prophet or talking about God. I like to think it's addressed to God. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the age-old foundation. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of the streets with dwellings. And I add, because in his great mercy, he has remembered all of us. After all, I like to think of Jesus. When I think about repairing the broken walls, I remember Jesus saying, "A smoldering wick, he will not quench." Referring to weak people, and Jesus giving them hope always. When I think about restorer or restorer of streets, again, I'm thinking about Jesus. He's called the Way. So he knows all about roads and streets. With dwellings. And I don't have it for renew, I'm sorry. As for the restorer of the streets, with dwellings, he did say, didn't he say something like, I'm going there to prepare a dwelling. So, think about these verses, these verbs, remember, restore, and renew. And you formulate your own questions. possibly avoiding the why questions. What we want to do now, and I'm done, there is one song that Karen graciously agrees to sing with Lori, and basically it is that verse I read in the beginning that we find in Lamentation, which is the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.